The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
A quick look at the Sunday newspapers. The Sunday Independent leads with coalition to offer €14,000 of a tax break on homes in gardens, the so-called beds in the sheds. We'll talk about that in a moment or two. Looking at the Sunday Times, the main headline there, households urged to cut down on fuel, warnings of unprecedented oil crisis as the Iran war goes on, and a nice picture of Roy Keane with his late mother. His mother died just a few days ago. Saving scheme to launch to levy zero tax on gains. That's another headline in the Sunday Times. And revealed the three bidders still in the race to buy the PTSB. That's the main story on the front of the Business Post. But also that story about the new savings accounts or investment accounts, capital gains tax to be axed for radical new investment accounts. I'm joined in the studio to go through the papers by columnist Brenda Power. Brenda, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
You've been perusing the papers. What has caught your eye?
I have, yes. The Mail on Sunday offers a little bit of a break, I suppose, from war and fuel crisis. An old-fashioned kind of a story, if you like, about a club in Kerry football club forced to cancel the launch of a revamp, a 380 grand pitch revamp, because the Minister for Sport could not attend. He wanted to be there, apparently, Minister Donovan wanted to be there for the photo op, but unfortunately it clashed with his trip to Savannah and Atlanta, Georgia, for St. Patrick's Day, where he was presumably charming the pants off American investors, and it had to be cancelled.
And it seems it's the form thing, what is required if you get a grant. You have to let the minister know when you're going to be launching whatever it is you're launching, because the minister or one of his acolytes, his junior minister perhaps, Charlie McConnellogue, wants to be there.
Yes.
To take the credit, I presume.
Of course. And it seems, though, that Norma Foley was going to be able to attend, but they wanted to be there too. I mean, Pat, I don't know. This is not actually Minister O'Donovan's personal kind of fiefdom. He is not giving us this money or giving Kerry FC this money out of his own pocket. This is taxpayers' money, which is not meant to be given sort of arbitrarily. It's meant to be given as needed and as required.
Due process and so on
exactly.
And so forth.
Exactly. So why should a minister get credit for doing what is basically his job? And it seems to me that the whole idea was to delay the photo opportunity until he could get the credit, and thus
there's a lot of stuff,
of re-election.
Bits and pieces in the newspapers about property in one form or another.
Yes, yeah, and I mean a lot of focus on the proposal that you can get a grant of up to 14 grand a year for basically putting a shed in your back garden and letting it
out. And they've eased the rules on that recently. And now it's like the rent-a-room scheme, except you can do it for the bed in the shed.
Yes, bed in the shed. And now, Eilis O'Hanlon has a good piece in the Sunday Independent saying, who's going to want to live cheek by jowl with their landlord? But I would imagine that most of the people who will avail of this will be adult children of people who might have a bit of space at the back of the house. I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea, but as she's saying, okay, so we tax landlords and have driven the good and the bad out of the market, but yet we're offering this tax-free incentive.
Yeah. There's some murmuring too about perhaps allowing people who've got their own kids living in their own rooms to avail of some tax break, which seems quite bizarre.
It does.
I mean, what's a family for?
Although at the same time, I suppose you are, you know, somebody is covering the cost of their accommodation.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? You've got a situation where the son or daughter is perhaps helping to fund the household, which is right and proper. Yeah. Adult children earning money should be contributing to the household. They get a tax break on the rent they pay to their parents, and their parents get 14 grand tax-free. I mean, does that all make sense? Does it add up?
A lot of it doesn't actually make sense. You know, I mean, when you consider that on the one hand, landlords are to be taxed. And in fairness, it seems to me that trying to balance the interests of landlords and the interests of tenants, you really do have to weight it, I think, more heavily in favour of landlords in the current climate. I'm afraid, unpopular as that view may be, you know, we have tenants in the market. What we need is landlords. Now, need to make it more attractive.
Former senator, former minister Shane Ross is also in the property business.
He's attempting to downsize, he said. Now, he would like to hang on to his large property in Wicklow, but he said given the sort of the balance of power in most households, they are going to have to cave in to his wife Ruth Buchanan's wish to downsize to somewhere in Dublin 4 or Dublin 6.
Well, they used to live in Dublin 4. I remember when Ruth was a continuity announcer in RT, and I was too. They lived in Belmont Avenue.
It was a lovely
Donnybrook,
place.
Very nice.
It was a nice place.
Then they moved to various places, fetching up in the end in Enniskerry.
Enniskerry.
Which is the pile Shane and Ruth are trying to sell.
Indeed. And I mean, when you say you have property developers contacting you, asking you how many houses you think may fit on your tennis court, I don't think really that Shane's concerns are going to ring many bells with most property owners. But I think, you know, in fairness, he is saying that for what he will get for his massive pile in Wicklow, he probably will get a shoebox in Dublin 6.
Now, much about the war, there's nothing on the front pages about the war against Iran mounted by Israel and the United States. Did you find much in the papers about it?
Only the fact that the Houthis have now entered the fray, another Iran terrorist proxy, and they're threatening, to close down the Gate of Tears in the Red Sea, which is another apparently oil conduit.
So if they block the two routes, if the Houthis block one and the Iranians block the Strait of Hormuz, the oil crisis
we're in serious trouble. Yeah. And again, I mean, that feeds into a lot of the stories on the front pages today about fuel and energy and the attendant concerns. I saw a suggestion, I think it's in the Sunday Times, that if rationing does come in, that we may see the army and guards stationed at petrol stations to make sure that only frontline workers are filling their tanks.
This is a bit like COVID, you know. Do you have to go down the country to see your ailing mother, or is she really ailing, or are you abusing the rules?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants to go back to those days. Mm. And then there's you know, the suggestion that maybe encouraging working from home might be a solution. But on the other hand, you know, the opponents of that are saying, well, if you have an office full of people in a centralised, you know, sustainable, you know, properly insulated property, is that really more fuel efficient than having, you know, 30 workers at home boiling the kettle, heating a room, using their Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's arguments pro and con.
Now, obviously, overnight, because the newspapers go to press on a Saturday night, but overnight Sky News reporting that the US is preparing for the ground invasion, and we cover that on our news headlines.
Yeah.
Also, Iran has asked the United States to condemn strikes on Iranian universities. I mean, why do you strike a university?
Yes, I know.
A seat of learning. Anyway, I came across this. The former chief of MI6, which is the UK secret intelligence agency, Alex Younger, has said that Iran has the upper hand in the war. In an interview with The Economist defense editor Shashank Joshi, the former MI6 chief says that America underestimated the regime, which has employed all manner of tactics to fight for its survival.
Who has the upper hand right now?
Iran. I regret having come to this conclusion because, like many MI6 officers of my generation, we faced the violence and brutality of the IRGC for most of our careers.
That's the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps.
Yeah. So there is no love lost between us. And I shed no tears for Ali Khamenei, who was killed at the beginning of this war. But the reality is the US underestimated the task. And I think, as of about 2 weeks ago, lost the initiative to Iran. In practice, the Iranian regime has been more resilient than I think anyone would have expected. They have embarked on what's technically called horizontal escalation, i.e. firing rockets at anybody within range, which at the time, honestly, Shawshank, I thought was nuts, but in fact has been a very good way of putting in direct price on the US. Sort of worked. And then they've understood the significance of the energy war and held the straits at threat and globalized and essentially not internationalized, just globalized the conflict in a way that gives them some weapons. So, you know, they've played a weak hand pretty well.
So that was Alex Younger, the former MI6 spy chief, talking to Shashank Joshi there. Mm-hmm. Interesting. It doesn't seem like this war has been well planned.
No, or even a thought through. I mean, I think the latest suggestion from Trump was that when he can reopen the Straits of Hormuz, the war will have been successful. They were open before he launched the attack. And I mean, I think, if you listen even to what he's been saying over the last while, on the one hand, oh, the Iranians, they're begging for a deal, they're begging for a deal. On the other hand, if they don't get serious, I'm going to hit them really hard. And I think the fact, you know, the taco argument, Pat, Trump always chickens out. He had given them a deadline, I think it was to expire last Friday, and he extended it unilaterally. So that is a sign of weakness. I remember, you know, reading a quote from Osama bin Laden to George Bush, I think 1996, after the first attack on the World Trade Center. And he said, what you will never understand is that our youths crave death the way your youths crave life. You can't really expect to win a war against people who actually have no fear of dying. And I mean, that is what was not factored in either.
Now, looking at other stories in the papers, and you have one yourself, in fact, about the dodgy box.
The dodgy boxes. I was astonished because, of course, like yourself, I don't know anybody who has one of these things.
Well, I wouldn't dare, to be quite honest.
No, you wouldn't. Well, I wasn't for a minute suggesting that you'd have one, but 400,000 households have them. And, I mean, I don't think you can make a cost of living argument for... have, you know, access to Sky Sports. It's not an essential. So I think there's probably something much more sort of nuanced going on.
But you wonder if, and we'll be talking about the subscription economy later on in the programme, whether or not the plethora of streamers is kind of, say, people are saying, I can't afford to have Disney and HBO now and Netflix and all the rest of them. Oh, yeah. And there are loads of them now. I can't afford to do that. So they are tempted.
They are tempted. And you know, for all the saber rattling, I just wonder how successful the attempts, in fact, to target the individual users will be. Because there would seem to me now, and I mean, I heard a law lecture talking about it during the week, so I defer to his knowledge, but that the hurdles that will have to be crossed, for a start, you really have to prove that not only that somebody has a subscription, but that they've been using it. There was a prosecution against a Kerry pub a couple of years ago, but was only successful because Sky executives went in and actually saw the television on and the sports match on. So unless they're going to come into our sitting rooms, not that I know anybody with them, of course, but into the sitting rooms of our dodgy box users, it might be hard to prove what their loss is too.
So therefore, the fact that you might have one of these things, and I mean, I don't believe it's a box anymore. It could be just a little dongle. That you have one, but that's not against the law.
It's not against using the law. You can buy those anywhere. And I mean, I think what surprised me was that there were any subscribers who were using Revolut. As far, again, you know, and this is only anecdotally, of course, that these are cash transactions, and that you meet your dodgy box supplier in the car park.
In a dodgy place.
They fell off the back of a lorry, and it's all cash.
Now, I've been following over the last few weeks the Michael Flatley story, and I'm perplexed.
I'm baffled by that as well, I have to say. But it seems he's come out on top. I don't know what the role is, but the Kinahans now seem to be involved somehow or other. A house belonging to the Kinahans is being cited. I really don't understand. I have a lot of time for Michael Flatley. I think he's a fantastic character. I was there for the first rehearsal of Riverdance, Pat, and honestly, I do attribute the kickoff of the Celtic Tiger to that moment in the point. And it was him. He drove that. So I think we have a lot to be grateful to Michael Flatley for. And I'd hate to see him, you know, end up in any difficulties.
There's an extraordinary story, the detail of which I don't really know, but some company has developed cotton replacement from...
Brilliant. Potatoes.
The humble potato stalk.
The humble potatoes.
Something that would be discarded.
Yes.
Not edible.
Yeah. The stalks of potatoes, which will replace cotton, apparently. So we could be world leaders in the production of the newest sustainable fabric, which would be fantastic. When I saw it first, I thought, what part of the potato is not edible? But of course, the stalk.
Now, in terms of sport, I'm not sure how much you're into sport, but it was really hard to avoid the big match.
Yeah.
And of course, there's another match against Macedonia on Tuesday. Is it still echoing across the pages?
Yes. Oh, the trauma of Thursday night is. I know a few people who have tickets for Tuesday, and they're saying, I don't know what, I'm not going to bother.
Not going to bother.
No. It was literally the last kick of the game. It was terribly traumatic. I'm not a sports fan or a football fan by any means, but of course watch that.
But the penalty shooter is all about jeopardy. You don't have to know anything about sports to be terrified.
But I found even before that, my heart was in my mouth. I don't know how sports fans do it all the time. I was a ball of nerves by the time that match ended.
And two familiar characters back in the pages, Meghan Markle's dad. And Tiger Woods.
Yes, well, Meghan Markle's dad first has found love again at 81. When he went in to have his leg amputated, apparently, he met a lovely Filipina, a nurse in the hospital. She's 44. She's 46. She's 2 years older than Meghan. And they're in love. Pat, you'll be delighted to hear.
I'm delighted to hear.
And in fairness, you know, I wouldn't be cynical. I wouldn't think the man has two red halfpennies to rub together. So, and he said, look, if it's any benefit to her, I'll marry her. But clearly she has a work permit, so she doesn't need she doesn't need his support to stay in the United States. So good for him.
And Tiger Woods?
Yeah, poor old Tiger Woods. I don't think he ever recovered from that whack of a five iron that he got off the wife all those years ago.
I mean, this is an accident where it's been suggested he was DUI, driving under the influence. And certainly the mugshot suggests he might have been.
The bloodshot eyes. Yeah. Yes, he didn't look. He looked a bit the worse for wear.
So just when he was beginning maybe to turn a corner and regain some of his form.
Yeah. I know. It's tragic, really. It is quite tragic. Someone so talented. Although I believe he has a son coming along who is going to follow in his footsteps.
Well, we hope.
But hopefully in the sporting sense only.
Lots of reading in the Sunday papers then.
Indeed there is. Yes, I'm glad to keep you going today.
Brenda Power, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show. Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.